Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word again as always. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We know that you're here with us right now to minister to us, to teach us. I yield myself as a vessel and I ask that you would think through my mind. You would speak through my mouth that I might be an oracle of God. Lord, minister to your people today. Touch them, touch their hearts, Lord. We want to minister heart to heart, not head to head, Father. Give illumination, give enlightenment, give knowledge, wisdom, and understanding today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we continue in our series, Genuine Faith, the key to overcoming afflictions, trials, tests, and tribulations is definitely going to be a real faith. Because in this world, we learn many of the tribulations. We looked at our text there, Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of righteous. Say many.
Many.
Not a few, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of all of them. We're not worried about affliction. That's going to happen because if you're righteous in an unrighteous world, they're going to afflict you. If you're righteous in an unrighteous world, they're going to persecute you because you remind them of their sin. By you living right, like they said, you don't know you're in dark when everybody else is dark, but you let some light come in, all of a sudden you see. You walk into the job place and you got the light of God on the inside. You're a light of the world. You're a flame to the world. And they didn't know their darkness was that dark till you walked up in there like, oh my goodness, that's the way I should be. I'm not like that. And they begin to feel bad, or they get mad and they feel mad at you because I was happy in my sin and you come down here with the law revealing wrong. I didn't know I was wrong till the law came. But when God, who is right, or somebody carrying the anointing of God who is right comes in, it shows up they're wrong. And that's why they persecute you. So if you're not getting people who are wanting to persecute you, there's a good chance you're not light enough. Many are the afflictions of the righteous because they're right. And those who love darkness more than light take offense to you because with you there, it reflects on them negatively. Although you're just there to enlighten them, if they resist God, they resist you. They're going to persecute you because they persecuted him. That's what Jesus said. Know you not that they shall persecute you as they persecuted me. And we're supposed to be just like him, and they're just like their father, the devil. So they're going to do the same thing that their fathers, the devil who persecuted Jesus, did. They're going to persecute you for righteousness' sake. We looked at 1 Peter 1:6-7. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Endure. You got to go through it. Don't stop in it. Didn't say you'll be overtaken, overcome by it. It says you just got to endure it. I'm on this world. This is not my home. This is not where I would live at. This is not the kingdom of my Lord. This is the devil's world. And I'm going to have to endure that. I'm going to have to press through that and I have to be here to win them. So everybody won't go to hell. I'm on enemy territory on a battlefield. This is not where I get all my reward at. This is not the playground. This is not where I let my hair down and kick my feet up on the coffee table. This is where I do battle. So why am I expecting it to be super comfortable and I'm just seeking everything that's comfortable instead of realizing, let me get up off my butt, get out there in the world and win the loss. Let me take up the cross and get in the fight. Now, I'm just looking for a place to sit up and a church to tell me everything's just wonderful. You don't have to do nothing. We're just glad to have you here. Would you like Starbucks coffee? Well, we'd like Dunkin' Donuts. What brand do you want? That's what I want. That's not what you're here for. You're on a battleship, not a cruise ship. Yeah, but I want the Lido deck to have all the entertainment and all that stuff. No, you're here to get to training, basic training. Hit the deck, get up, get the gun, load up, get the word, get the ammunition, fight, fight, fight. Well, I was kind of thinking, I don't want to do all that. And there's churches now that Satan's got that will offer you a total cruise ship, all expense paid package. Best cruise you ever been on. I mean, good heavens, nobody's going to say anything you don't like. Nobody's light is going to make your darkness look bad. Oh, not at all. Dee Dee and I were talking before service, because, you know, when we were working with the church and growing the church and doing evangelism and outreach and all that, we're looking at the books, and the books talk so much about just meet the people's heartfelt needs. Well, that sounds a lot like the Bible. It's in the latter days. Yeah, these people look like a church, but they're not a church because they're denying the power of the gospel to change a life. They're just out there trying to make sure that you meet people's itching ears the most. And they said in the latter days, you have a fake people of God who go around looking for somebody to tell them what they want to hear, to help them feel the way you want to feel, instead of telling them what it takes to go to heaven and what it takes to live right. If we went down that road, we'd be a different church. Now, we'd probably have about 500 more people, but we'd be a different church. And we think we were successful because we'll look around and we'll see 500 church of 500 babies of probably 450 of them on their way to hell. But we wouldn't care because we're successful because we've got a fun. We've got the best music department. We've got the most entertaining preaching. We've got the best flavor coffee. We've got the best building. None of that stuff has anything to do with righteousness. It's not evil or wicked, all of it, but it also has nothing necessarily to do with righteousness. Why do you come to church if you don't want to be right? God's not interested in entertainment. God's interested in changing lives. The power of the gospel is when you preach it, it divides asunder spirit and soul, and it demands improvement. It demands you come up higher. It demands a closeness to God. But some people don't go to church to be righteous. They don't go to church to be holy. They don't go to church to be close to God. They don't go to church to have a genuine faith. They go to church to be entertained. Please give me a free concert. Tell me how lucky God is to have me. And he's so desperate and needy, he just sent his son to die just so I could be his friend, because he don't have no friends. No, God sent Jesus down here for two reasons. One is so you can get to heaven, and the other reason is so he can get hell out of you. And a lot of folks want to go to heaven, they just don't want to get the hell out of them, but they don't understand, as long as hell is in you, that's where you're going. If we don't clean up, we can't go up. There's nobody that's going to be in heaven wearing a crown who didn't bear a cross on the ground. Nobody's going to be in heaven wearing a crown if they didn't bear the cross on the ground. I don't want to build a cross. I want to all be comfortable. I want everything to be absolutely perfect and comfortable. I said, where is that at? The Bible knew it was going to be uncomfortable. That's why God said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll be your comforter. Because he knew it was going to be uncomfortable, because Jesus walked this road before we did. He said, oh, it ain't comfortable. They put me on the cross. They put nails in my hands. No, I wouldn't call that comfortable. They spat on me. I wouldn't call that comfortable. The people who followed me, they persecuted them. I wouldn't call that comfortable. Paul, were you comfortable? This is not my home either. Jesus, were you comfortable? How long shall I endure these people? He said, if this was my kingdom, they would know my sheep would know my voice. They follow me. This is not my kingdom. It was very uncomfortable, but that was irrelevant. He lived by faith. He didn't live by feelings. He didn't live by what he saw, what he felt. He lived by faith in the word of God. And when we're talking about the genuine faith, we're talking about somebody that's not thinking church is something church is not, not thinking Christianity is something Christianity is not. Christianity is battle. Put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. Gird your feet about with the preparation of gospel peace. Put your loins about. I mean, it's talking about armor in Ephesians. Armor. You don't need no armor to go on a cruise. I've been on cruise before. I didn't get on the thing and they start passing out shield. Now, they might do that when you're in the military. You might be about to be employed overseas. And they say, why we got this combat gear? Because you're going in combat. But you got Christians coming to church. What flavor of coffee? And that's important to them. I wonder who's leading worship today. You know, they don't do all that on the battlefield. On the battlefield, they suit up. The Lord prepared us for where he's taking us as a church when he taught us all that time on, you remember it, we went 13, 14 weeks on it. Cruise ship or battleship, which do you choose? All the spiritual cruises, talking in the spirit, all the spiritual cruises dock in hell. There is no cruise to heaven. It's all battle. You fight your way there. You defeat the devil every turn. Devil, I see you coming. You're coming against my flesh, but I will win. I'm getting to heaven. Jesus paid the price. I'm going. I'm stabbing. I'm doing it. I'm fighting the good fight of, the good cruise of faith. That's what he said. No, it says fight the good fight of faith. It says put on the armor. It says we have an enemy. We have an adversary. They don't say nothing about we got a barista serving the coffee. Where do people get this stuff? I don't, people's concept, I'm like, devil, you so sliding in so easy, they don't even realize they're anywhere in hell. But the Bible said in the latter days, there will be many false teachers. They will deceive many. The blind will be leading the blind. And I promise you, every last one, I'm going to fall in the ditch, which is the pit of hell. They don't tell it. I know we even deal with that here, and we're changing, getting better. But most Christians have never led anybody to the Lord. Ever. And what is the purpose to be a Christian? To do the works of Christ. What's the works of Christ? Go you into all the world, preach the gospel, leading them to the Lord, baptizing them, and then training them and teaching them and everything that he taught. Teach them to obey it. That's the only reason you're still breathing after you get saved, is so somebody else can get saved. But most of us at our churches, we're comfortable getting saved and watching everybody else go to hell. They would pretty much have to beg us to tell them about Jesus. Please tell me about Jesus. Because they're begging all the time. My marriage is falling apart. My finances, I don't know. My kids. And we just say, well, go thy way and be thou fed. Y'all know that scripture. Anybody laughing know that's in the word. That's what Jesus said. What good are you if somebody come with all these problems? You just say, go thy way and be thy fed. You know, no, you're supposed to get in there and say, look, God's got a word for that. You know, like they say on the Apple, God's got an app for that. God's got an application of his word for that problem. God's got an app for that. And you sitting there and they are begging you for an answer. And you going around, Jesus is the answer for the world today. But you don't get nobody no answer to the questions. God doesn't only love you. And remember, everybody in hell, God pretty much loves. They just don't love him. Nobody goes to hell because God don't love him. You can't be no worse in hell than you were when they said, while we were yet in our muck and the miry clay, God loved us enough. He sent his son. So his love is static. God is love. He can't do nothing but love. But the thing is those who love me keep my commandments. If you don't get to where you keep his commandments, you go to hell because you don't love him. Well, how I know I don't love him? Because you don't keep my commandments. God has written his law on your heart. And all of us know, like, I shouldn't do that. And we either stop and don't do it, or we should do something, God says, and we stop and go do it, or we say, let me see what Satan's got to say. Hath God really said? It's that, you know, that's not really, we're almost married. You know, it's like, what's a piece of paper? You know, skip church. I know the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of saints. But did he really mean what he said? Do not forsake the assembly of saints. Which part got you in trouble? The do, the not, the forsake. Which word didn't you understand? Even more so should you come together as the day of the Lord approaches, because evil is day thereof. And you can look at Barner Research, who's a Christian researcher, and he tells you the people who go to church less than they did in the 80s and 90s. We've had people at this church just go to church every Sunday. I didn't come every third Sunday, every fourth Sunday, every other Sunday, every few months. That's what they're talking about. Why don't people go to church anymore? Well, I know why they don't. Because God said you should come more since the day approaches, and because their hearts are hardened and they're disobedient. That's why they don't come. The devil say left, and they go left. God say right, they go left. That's why. Their hearts are hardened. We can't read the Bible like we can't identify with those people. They're people just like us. They talking there about, you read, you're like, man, I wouldn't have done that. Jesus was there. I ain't stupid like them. I would have followed the Spirit of God. Everybody know that would have been dumb. There's folk right now, he said, go to church. They don't come. He says, stop sinning or you go to hell. They see people in the Bible sinning. They say, I wouldn't be like that, but they sin. Those people, just like us, they were busy with the cares of the world, so they didn't realize they were being deceived. They knew the truth, but they would not hold it in their heart. So therefore, it got out of their heart, and out of the heart, the issues of life come out of the heart. So if you don't keep it present in your heart, and you got it floating around somewhere in your head, but not in your heart, for with the heart, man, believe it, what you believe is how you act. Everybody does exactly what they believe. There's not nobody. People who skip church believe it's okay to skip. People who fornicate believe it's okay. They lie to themselves. They ignore the word of God to give themselves reasons. People to think we cannot keep the Great Commission, they'd be okay with God, and they're going to go up to heaven at the gate saying, look at all these people. Oh, sorry, no, I didn't bring nobody. This is like a bring some people party. You're supposed to bring somebody. You know, you're supposed to lead people to Christ. If you turn around, ain't nobody following you there, you ain't leading. Like I told the leaders this morning, if you're out leading and ain't nobody following, you're just a person taking a walk. Ain't nobody following you to Christ, you ain't led nobody to Christ. If you don't have anybody following you, you hadn't led anybody. There should be some people who you know, because I talked to them and gave them Christ, that's why they're in the kingdom today. There should be some people you're working on right now. I said last year and the year before, the beginning of the year, and your New Year's resolution, how many people have you resolved to bring to Christ this year? How many souls are you believing for? God, I'm believing you for 10 people this year. God, I'm believing you for 100 people this year. God, I'm believing you for just one soul this year. Most of us believe for zero, and we got what we believed for. But yet we still think we have a genuine faith, a real faith. We have got to ask the question, why isn't what the word said about us happening? Why isn't my body healed? Why aren't my finances right? Why isn't my marriage good? Why isn't this? You got to ask the question because there's an answer. But if you never ask the question, you never get an answer. I believe the word of God is true. And if I believe it's true, I demand it happen. And when it's not happening, I want to know why. Oh, maybe I didn't know to eat right and Satan took advantage of me, because the Bible does say if you're ignorant of what he does to you, take advantage of you, and he is putting poison in the food and he is putting stuff that's not food, suddenly as food. You can go to a grocery store, flip it over, and it says 0% nutrition value, but yet we buy it with the food budget and eat it. Well, that could be what's making me sick. And it doesn't matter if I know it or not. He says he will take advantage if you don't know it. So if I'm sick, I need to check and see what am I eating. Need to check and see what am I thinking? What stress am I carrying when I should cast that care on the Lord? What toxic people do I have around me that I need to get rid of? If my marriage is falling apart, how do you treat your spouse? You reap what you sow. If you don't like the crop, you better check the seed. Things don't happen for no reason. Oh, my marriage is falling apart. Are you doing what it takes to glue it together? Well, when I have time, but I just don't have a lot of time. But you got time for it to fall apart. I'll talk to men and they'll be, oh, my wife and the challenge I'm having. I said, you watch football? Yeah. I said, well, quit watching it. Go spend time with your wife. You think I just told them they ain't no heaven or something. You know, I was like, football benefits the one who's getting paid to play it, not the ones who are paying to watch it. And we're adults who watch them for a living. Even to ignore our wife and our kids, we'll go watch the game. To ignore our God, but we got to see the football game. Pastor Cook, we got to get up about 1, the game's coming on. You're free to go. I'm not going to hold anybody. If that's out there blessing you, go on out there. But those same people over 30 years of pastoring, I've seen them same people rotate later. Pastor, my money's in problem. Pastor, my marriage is a problem. Pastor, my kids gone wild. Oh, I mean, my son, all this crazy stuff going on. I said, you sold into it. Everybody reaps what they sow. But everybody doesn't sow what they want to reap. If you sow into righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. If you sow into unrighteousness, you'll reap unrighteousness. And all that is faith. Faith is the act of what you're sowing. If I love God, I sow that type of seed. If I don't love God, I sow that type of seed. It's all about sowing and reaping. Whatever you want to reap, make sure it's that kind of seed. And make sure when you plant that seed, you don't dig it back up with your mouth or with your actions. Keep it in the ground. As long as there will be existence, God said in Genesis, he said there will be seed, there'll be time and harvest. There'll be a time to sow seed. There'll be the time for it to germinate. Then there'll be the harvest. And in between that is patience, because every blessing of God is received through faith and patience. But if we don't have genuine faith, we sow the wrong seed. We sow the seed that the devil says, now you want to be rich? Take the deal. Go down to the crossroads, take the deal. Devil will make that deal with you. You'll get rich and famous. Then you go to hell and burn forever. That's a sucker deal. Because God said you can be blessed now. God doesn't make you wait to go to heaven and be blessed. To the degree that you follow God on earth, he says, I will bless you 30, 60, 100 fold in this life and in the next. The devil says, I'll bless you in this life, but you're going to be with me in the next life. And I've already committed the unpardonable sin. This is the devil talking. I've already committed unpardonable sin. And what I want is the only way I can hurt God is to take people he loved to hell with me. Now I'm through. All I can do is try to convince you, you need to go with me. Devil doesn't love you. He's not your friend. He doesn't care about you. When he whispers in your ear, skip church. When he whispers, you sleep with her anyway, sleep with him anyway. When he whispers in your ear, don't volunteer at church. When he whispers here, you want your own time, do what you want to do. All that's him whispering to you, but he is not your friend. Everything he's telling you is to destroy you. So how do we not follow the devil? We walk by faith. What does that mean? We trust God. We trust God. What does it mean to trust God? God says it. I believe it. That settles it. I do it. It's no more complicated than that. But my flesh didn't want to do it. What do you say to your flesh? Shut up, flesh. Because you didn't tell the flesh to shut up. That thing is crazy. Your flesh should be telling you, look, I got a thing that comes up every day on my thing. And it says, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe the word of God says. To remind me, don't walk in the flesh today. If you feel like slapping somebody, don't slap them. That's not a good thing to do. They may deserve it, but don't slap them. You feel like ramming your car in the back of that car for them cutting you off? Don't do that. That wouldn't be walking in love. They may need it. It might help them, but don't do that. Don't return relic for relic and evil for evil. So, you know, sometimes you got to get up and remind yourself, I'm supposed to be saved today. So you got to remind yourself sometime, I'm led of the spirit, not the flesh. I'm a child of God. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe the word of God says. Otherwise, you won't walk in faith that day. And although you feel it, you have other reasons to do it. Faith says, I'm not going to go with what I want to do. Faith says, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Because I'm dead and buried with Christ, not I that liveth. Galatians 2:20. I was dead and buried with Christ, not I liveth, but Christ liveth in me. This life that I now live in the flesh is not a life of my own, but it's life unto Jesus Christ, who died and gave himself for me so I could be saved. Isn't that what we do? Every day we're supposed to get up and realize I'm dead and buried. God gave you one more day to manifest him and not you. You get up in the morning, you thank God for one more day to manifest him and not you. God, this day I want to manifest you. I want to go to the church and minister to your people and say something that encourages them to come up higher, God. I want to say something where they'll look at the devil and say, no, you had me last week, this week, no, I'm not doing that. To say something that come to their remembrance, the Holy Spirit to bring it back, so that when they're in that day of temptations, tests, trials, and afflictions, they'll stand strong and they can praise God to keep their strength and to keep their joy. If you don't purpose your day will be purposeless. What is the purpose you have for each day? When you get up in the morning, you know today what you're going to do tomorrow and the rest of your life. What are you going to do? Now, if you talk about the rest of my life and do the same thing I did last year, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What's your purpose? If you don't have one, somebody give you one. If you don't have a purpose, Satan will supply you with a purpose. If you don't have a purpose in life, somebody will have you fulfilling their purpose in life. Genuine faith based on the word of God. Point one, we learn that faith is positive. Point two, we learn faith is persistent. So when you want to overcome the afflictions that are definitely going to come, because many of the afflictions are righteous, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, the trials will show that your faith is genuine or not. If when temptations, tests, and trials come, and life doesn't go the way you want it to go, what do you do? Do you get negative? You were positive before. They say they're laying people off. Something come up, and all of a sudden you're like, you change. You're no longer positive. And you begin to say, woe is me, and you go negative. And then you, after that, you no longer say, let me come back to myself. God is great. And you press in. No, I just stop persisting. Well, you know, I'm not going to church this week. Hey, sister, where you been? I ain't seen you at church in a while. Well, you know, the devil's been messing with me, pastor. Well, you definitely ought to go to church then. He ain't going to come when you come. You ought to come to church. Get him off your back. But no, that's not what happens. We want to go in and put the curtains down and have a pity party. I don't know why this happened to me. I'm the best employee they had, and they laid me off. Hey, they're not your source. God is your source. You just say, God, guess what? They laid me off, and they think that's going to bother me. Thank God I'm blessed anyway. I don't even know where it's coming from, but I'm blessed. My seed should not be falling bread. I begin to speak the word. You begin to praise God. You persist in faith. You don't give up and run away. You persist. Well, you know, we found a lump and we did a biopsy and it's cancerous. It's stage 2. We need to take care of this. And you go, oh my goodness. Instead of like, you know, with long life, should he satisfy me? I'll fulfill the number of my days. I see what you say, but I don't believe it. I can believe whatever I want to, and I don't believe that. God, what do we need to do to take care of this? Eat right, do this, do whatever, pray, whatever, but this shall not take me out. With long life shall satisfy me. I will fulfill the number of my days. But not when you won't persist. Genuine faith stays positive and genuine faith persists. It does not change. If anything, it goes from persistence to insistence, and you start insisting the word of God is true. What did you say in the old church? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I hear you. I see you. But you're lying. I persist in the word of God is true in my life. I am the head, not tail, above and not beneath. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field. With long life, she satisfied me. Everything I touch is blessed. What do you persist in when afflictions, temptations, tests, and trials and tribulations come? I don't care if it's sickness, disease, marital problems. What do you do? Doesn't matter what the devil does. It only matters what you do. It's not what happens outside of you that matters. It's what happened inside of you when something outside happens. What happens on the inside of you when the situation is unfavorable on the outside of you? It was good yesterday. Then all of a sudden you get some news. It's no longer favorable. What do you do? Do you change or you act like, God, I changed not. God's still true. He's still on the throne. Yeah, you gave me that news. Great. I'm glad you shared it. But great. I'm fine. Or do you like, oh my gosh, the swing in the wind. There's winds of doubt. Everybody was telling me everything was wonderful yesterday. Then all of a sudden this wave comes and I'm like a man on the sea. And now I have to doubt because they just said you're not going to make it. I wonder if I'm going to make it. Well, yesterday you thought you were going to make it. The devil come say something. I tell you about that time I was in the pastor's meeting and it was the morning when the Supreme Court announced that homosexual marriage is recognized. And then, you know, we're in the meeting and I guess somebody heard it because they stopped the meeting. They said, oh, the Supreme Court just did this. And oh, we need. And I mean, I'm looking at a room full of ministers and they start acting different. So they stopped the whole meeting to discuss that. And I just raised my hand and I said, well, has God changed? Can the Supreme Court amend the Bible? It's still saying. What changed? God didn't change. Why did we change? Maybe we weren't rooted and grounded and established in the Word. Maybe we were just floating around on the surface, and when the world shifted, we shifted with the world. I didn't change at all. Well, if the world decided to play games, it doesn't matter what law the Supreme Court makes, it doesn't change the word. If there's anything above God, then go serve that. But some people do serve that. They told the pastors, we can't meet because of the pandemic, and a lot of pastors didn't meet. And why didn't they meet? Because of fear. I'm afraid a plague has come nigh my dwelling. The word meant nothing, that no plague should come nigh my dwelling. I said, that was our greatest hour. That was like a Churchill statement. This is our greatest hour. We had a chance to go to church anyway, while everybody else in their house scared of the pandemic, scared, and we going to church anyway and not getting COVID, just going on about our business and just kept going. But instead, we like everybody else. It's out there. The COVID is out there. Everybody else huddled down, hiding in the house. I tell you about saints, you know, somebody come in the door and I got to hug this brother here. Pastor, COVID. I'm like, I don't have COVID. You got COVID? You ain't got to be afraid of me having it, because I don't have it. And I ain't afraid of you having it. And I don't care, because COVID don't bother me. Love my brother. COVID don't bother me. Well, Pastor, how you know that? Because I just said it. I can say out of my mouth and believe in my heart and move any mountain, including the COVID mountain. Nothing changed because they said there's a virus out there. God is still on the throne. Nothing changed because they say a man been married to man is now marriage. No, it's not. You're just delusional. Yes. It doesn't matter what law the Supreme Court makes. It doesn't change the word. At the moment, we don't have a music department. I said, no, what does music have to do with church? Well, you know, because every now and then when somebody say something about that, and, you know, if we have a music department, you play, come on up and we'll let you play. But I tell folks, I'll be like, well, you know, you do know that Jesus did not travel with a choir, don't you? You do know Paul didn't have a 5-piece band. You do know that, don't you? It's no sin in having it. It's no sin in not having it. And I told you, I can go in these churches and say they have worship or praise, go in there as a guest preacher and say, I had no instrument. Let's just worship the Lord for about an hour. There'll be three amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. 30 seconds only. Those folks don't know how to worship God. There's a few in there to do. Most people in most churches didn't know how to worship God. That's why the worship leader had to try and stroke them up each week and get them going. Let's not sing anything. Sing your own song to the Lord. Make the joy and the merriment out of your heart. They don't know what to do. Well, we're going to start. Just get the instruments going. But in the Bible don't say nothing about you have to have an instrument to worship God. They had instruments. Yeah, but he didn't say they had to have them. Otherwise, Jesus would have had them. Jesus would have said, okay, who's going to do the music today? Okay, get up, sing three hymns, two hers, and then I'll preach. He'd created false doctrine like you have to have worship because they got to prepare the hearts of the people in order to receive the word of God. I believe that. I actually taught that at one time. Only problem is nowhere in the Bible. But we're talking about the third point. We were talking about point number one was stay positive. When you talk about genuine faith, it's just like God. It changes not because your faith is in God. And if you put your faith in something that's stable and somebody's stable and the Lord that God changes not, he's saying today and yesterday, why are you changing? Why? Because something happens in life that you see, you're now no longer walking by faith. You're now walking by sight. You see them telling you they're going to lay you off. You hear them say, your five senses say something. You need to stick with the sixth sense. The sixth sense is faith. What is a sense? A sense is a way that you perceive reality. If I took those senses away from you, you wouldn't even know where you are. You wouldn't know who's standing in front of you. You wouldn't know is it hot or cold. Your five senses are how you determine reality in the world. But people got to understand there's a sixth sense that the believer has called faith. If the word says it, it's just as real to me as though I see it. That's genuine faith. And most people have not developed that, but every Christian should have it. That's the faith that when the doctor tells you you're sick, shows you the x-ray, you see the cancer, and you say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And because you say it and you believe it, because you don't need to see it, you can see something that's contradictory, but you can believe in your heart, that faith changes that. The faith changes that because you establish your tongue is creative power. God said, let there be light. And where there was no light, there was light. God said things and spoke them to existence. But God lives by faith. Jesus walked by faith. We're supposed to be Christ-like, and we're supposed to walk by faith and move by faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. It's the evidence of its existence. I don't need touch, taste, smell. All I need to do is know it's in the word, and my faith says it's real, and it's real to me, and my faith makes it real. My faith brings that thing that's in the spiritual realm as a manifestation of natural. My faith calls things to be not a natural as though they were in the natural, and then they manifest because faith brings the unseen into the seen. For those things that are seen are not as important as things that are not seen, for everything that is seen came out of the realm of the unseen. God had to know what light was before he said, let it be. You got to see yourself healed before you can speak healing to your body. If you just look and you're trapped in the natural senses and you see the thing, the doctor's trying to prove that you got to die. Here's the reason you got to die. Yep. Tests are getting worse. You got to die. And you keep seeing that and you don't have faith to not be moved by what you see. And I tell some folks, your faith is weak. You need to stop looking at the doctor's report. You need to just focus on the word. Some people can go look at it and say, yeah, okay, big or small, it doesn't matter. But yeah, thanks for letting me know. But I'm still healed. This thing should not take me out. And they'll tell you crazy. They'll tell you everything else. That's because they don't walk by faith. They walk by sight. But it's going to be unto you according to their faith. It's going to be unto you according to your faith. What do you believe about you? The doctor would do everything and convince you you're going to die. Because he totally walks by sight. We're not even saying it's not there. We're just saying I'm not moved by what I see. I don't need to start denying it. I just speak what I want into existence. I don't worry about saying I'm not sick. I believe I'm not sick. That's different than saying I believe I'm healed. I'm not denying what's there. I'm just agreeing with what's supposed to be there. I'm believing and calling things to be not as though they were. I'm walking by genuine faith. I'm staying positive. I'm not believing the negative. I'm believing the positive. I see myself healed. I don't care what the x-ray says. I see myself healed. I see myself blessed. I see whatever you're believing for. I see myself married. I see myself whatever you're believing for. If you think that's crazy and that seems crazy to you, that's because, oh, ye of little faith. Everybody teased Peter and they pick on Peter about walking on the water. You like Peter. I said, Peter, the only one I know to walk on water. All the rest of them faithless, so-called strong Christians didn't even get out the boat. Yes, he walked. Jesus being afar off, he walked out to him. And when he got close, he stopped looking at Jesus, started looking at Wade. That's when he fell. But he walked on the water. Any of those sitting up in the boat walking water? I watched a video last night. And there was somebody who's criticizing Smith Wigglesworth because Smith Wigglesworth, they said he was violent in his healing. Yes, he was. And he told him, he said, I don't mean to be hard on anybody, but sometimes they get between me and the devil. Because he told his one group of people, it was a mother. Now, this way he moved. I don't move like that. I don't particularly want to move like that, but I do want to get people healed. But he told his one couple, they came with the baby and the baby had some ailment that was going to be to death. And Smith Wigglesworth looked at him, got permission. Would you mind if I do what God told me to do? And they said, oh, follow God. And he threw the baby against the wall. Picked the baby up. And I think they said he threw it one more time. Then the baby hit the floor, totally healed. There's a lady came up. She had a big garter. Old lady came up. They helped her get up there and he punched her in the stomach, just like he was boxing. Lady fell to the floor. People are like, what's wrong with him? And then they complained. They wrote in the newspaper and how violent he is. But if they asked the lady, she said, I was sick, but now I'm healed. Smith Wigglesworth's got results. Somebody, Copeland was telling a story because Copeland's friend was there when Smith Wigglesworth healed a guy, raised a guy from the dead. They had, back then, they'd had a funeral and they had the body and stayed at the house. And they had a nice house, had glass doors, and they had put the body in there and everybody's having a family hour outside in the living room. And the guy invited Smith Wigglesworth Somehow he knew him, and Smith Wigglesworth came, and Smith Wigglesworth had been praying, and God told him to raise the man from the dead. And they says, Kenneth Copeland was telling the story. He says, friend says Smith came, and everybody, oh, praise God. He said, Brother Smith Wigglesworth, because he had a great healing meeting. Everybody wanted to see Smith. Oh, man, this is great. And then he walked by. He said he really didn't talk to people. He walked in. He went to that room where they had the doors closed, the French doors. He opened up the door. He went in there, and he started picking the body out of the casket. And by that time, he said, oh, my goodness. He said, my friend was so upset because he had invited Smith. And this is the family. And Smith has walked in without saying hello to anybody, goes into the room with the body, and he's lifting the body out the casket. And he lifts the man up and put him against the wall, says, I command you to live. And the man just fell to the floor. He picked him up again. They said he picked him up three times. And the third time, he said, the man shook and he came back to life. And he said, Kenneth Copeland said, this, my friend's not lying. He said, this is a true story. And he said, they walked out. But that he raised many people from the dead. And people say, I can't believe that. Well, you don't believe Jesus raised people from the dead either, do you? But he was Jesus. That's who you're supposed to be, but you don't identify, do you? If you read Smith's writing, he identified. He says, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That man, they called him an apostle of faith. Doctors certified he raised people from the dead. Doctors said the people were dead. This is not just somebody saying something, telling stories. It's documented by doctors of him raising people from the dead. Benson Itohosa did the same thing. First day he got saved, he went to raise somebody dead because he heard the Christian missionary preaching. Is he from Nigeria or was it Liberia? But he was over in Africa. Benson Itohosa, young man, I think he was in his 20s. He is the preacher preaching Jesus raised from the dead, the power of God. And he's like, well, I want to receive Jesus. And he was just simple enough to believe what the word said. And he went and found somebody that died that day. The day he got saved and he spoke to him and God raised from the dead. He had a tremendous ministry. He's since passed away, but you can look at his stuff online. Benson Itohosa was a man who believed God. He had a genuine faith. Whereas the rest of us have God said. Well, Smith Wigglesworth, look, it's somebody. I'm watching the show last night, and the man's talking about Smith Wigglesworth. He ain't raised nobody from the dead, ain't cured nobody of a runny nose or a headache. And he's criticizing Smith Wigglesworth about the way he healed. Don't ask the fools watching. Ask the sick person. Are you glad I threw your baby against the wall? Whatever. Whatever. Whatever, Roxanne, whatever. All I know is my baby, like they talk about, well, who healed you? Who healed you on the Sabbath day? They shouldn't do that. Blind Bartimaeus said, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. And the other man was like, I was crippled, but now I walk. Well, what was his name? I don't know. I don't know who he was. But all I know is I was crippled, now I walk. I was blind, now I see. I'm not going to blame anybody about how they do it if they get it done. The baby, wasn't nothing wrong with the baby. Yes, I would not think to throw a baby against the wall. I don't want God even want me to use me to throw a baby against the wall. I'd rather just lay hands on him, say a prayer, you know, because that's more faith than I've got. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm like, God, can you deal with me another way? You know, because I know a whole lot of folk don't have to throw the baby against the wall and punch old ladies in the stomach because I know all the drama that's going to cause. But if God tell you to do it, you do it anyway. But before he tell me to do it, I tell him, don't tell me to do that. Tell me something else. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I ain't going to pretend I got faith I don't have. I don't ever want to throw a baby against the wall and get a heal. But I have no problem with him doing it. I'll let him throw your baby against the wall. I won't have no problem with it. Hey, if that's what he say, if you want to let him do it later, I ain't going to say nothing about that. Ain't God. My baby will be like, no, you need to do this. Or that. You know, I'm saying that's just where I'm at. That's just me. That may not be you. That's just me. But I would not condemn the man because he got the results. And if you start that mess, he's healing by the devil. They had that in the Bible, remember? They said, well, if my people cast them out by the devil, what name of your people cast them out? Jesus like, look, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You can't be dogging a recipe if the pudding's good. Okay? If the baby's healed, if he asks the parents, they're happy. Don't ask the people on the side like, oh, how can he do that? Don't ask the man in the newspaper complaining. He's using ungodly ways. Don't listen to the Pharisee saying that that's not God, because God wouldn't heal a baby by throwing against the wall. He just did, unless you're saying Satan healed the baby. Unless you're saying Satan healed the baby. Because the doctor did all the little stuff. He did all the sorcery and the witchcraft he does. You have no problem with that. You're going to take your little baby to a sorcerer to put some sorcery on him, some pharmakia, but you ain't going to let the man of God do what he does and see the results and complain. But I don't think the parents were once complaining. And the old lady who got healed wasn't complaining. And blind Bartimaeus wasn't complaining. And the crippled man wasn't complaining. It's those people on the side who are what? The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Judases. Well, that money could have been given to the poor. Was that a statement of faith? But that obviously wasn't a statement of faith, because Judas said it. And the Bible said right there, he said that because he was keeping the bag and was stealing from it. That money wasn't about to be given to the poor. That money was about, unless he was going to change his name to poor. Because the Bible told you, and there's still preachers to this day. Let's say, for example, if I remember when Fred Price, his church, they got together and they bought him a Rolls Royce for pastor's appreciation or something. Now, you got 25,000 people. That's not a lot of money. Probably $10 a person. You know, that's not a lot of money. But they bought him a Rolls Royce and the media went crazy. When they said bought him Rolls Royce, I rejoiced. Blessed with them to rejoice. Rejoice. I said, praise God. He didn't make them give any money. They did it on their own. Praise God. But you know, there was a lot of preachers. That money could have been given to the poor. And I imagine they were the poor, right? Imagine they were the poor, you know? I don't have no problem with that, but some Christians get upset that money could be given to the poor. Why are you quoting Judas? You must have the same, because ain't nobody in the Bible complaining about Jesus being blessed. Nobody. It was always the one who was against, and people don't see that. And the thing is, they're just jealous and envious. God, he didn't take the money, so now you can't have it. If they run short, they'll print some more. Somebody being rich has not stopped you, and people act like you got all the money. There's none left for me. I told people, why do they have a problem? That's a lack of faith. Like I said, that one guy, he was praying to God, and he prayed to God. It's kind of a sports car or something. Let's just say he wanted a Maserati, but it was some kind of sports car. And he said, I want to be able to take poor children to church. And so somebody said, well, why don't you pray to God for a school bus? You can take more of the poor kids to church. Why you believe for a Maserati? You know, you put two people in a Maserati, you and one other one. Why don't you believe God for a school bus? Because they just want it. See, that's heaping a toward in your own lust. That's not faith. And a lot of people, they ask and they receive not because they ask amiss. They ask improperly that they might heap it up on their lust. That's what James said. God, give me money because I want to buy some more stuff. And you can't dress it up and say, God, give me money so I can help poor people, because God is not to be made a fool of. He knows your heart. You may fool yourself, but you don't fool God. A lot of us, it is a blessing of God we don't have more money, because we buy a boat and to find out the best day to sail is on Sunday. Yes, they would. If you got this nice stuff, you got to polish it. I got to wax the boat Sunday. Well, that's the best day for fishing. I entered a fishing competition and God wouldn't want me to go against my word. I signed I would be there, so I'm going to be there. And you ain't got to go to church every week. Ain't no sin in not going to church. Ain't no sin in going either. It just depends on which one you want to pick. God is not to be made a fool of, folks. God knows exactly what it takes to walk by faith. It's to follow his word. God knows exactly who's following him. Some people say, I don't have any persecution. That's because you're following the devil. If you go the same way he goes, you don't run into him. But if you go against the devil, you will run into him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today, and we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that when we pray that you would be our teacher and our revelator, that you would touch every heart. Father, I thank you that you have done what we asked you to do, Lord. You have been faithful to minister to your people, Lord. You've encouraged people to come up higher, to go further in God. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will bring this word to their remembrance this week, that when they're tempted, tested, and tried, that they'll remember that walk by faith, a genuine and real faith. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Every head still bowed, every eyes closed in prayer. Just a moment longer. No one's moving except those who are assigned.